This week's Torah portion is a double header. We read the portions called Behar and Bechukosai. Behar and Bechukosai, they talk about the following topics, and then I'm going to tell you specifically about the beginning of Bechukosai. So Behar and Bechukosai talks about, and it actually is also the conclusion of the third book of the Torah, the book of Vayikra. We finish the book. And we always, when we finish one of the five books of the Torah, it's a mini celebration. We say, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, may we be strengthened to continue studying. And the person that gets called up for that Aliyah, the seventh person to get called up every Shabbos is the one who concludes the Parsha, is considered to be a special Aliyah. It's a special, considered to be a special zchut, special merit, for earning a living and for actually becoming wealthy. So people spend money to bid against each other in the big shuls. The small shuls is no, you know, it's no big deal to get an aliyah, but in the big shuls, people actually spend money to bid to get this seventh aliyah, the aliyah called Chazak. So this Shabbos, therefore, it's called Shabbos Chazak, the Shabbos of strengthening. Because again, we say Chazak, Chazak, v'nis Chazek, we should be strengthened to continue to learn Torah. The last two parshas of the book of Vayikra, which we are reading this Shabbos, Behar Bechukosai, talk about the following topics. Behar talks about Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah and Yovel. So what are Shemitah and Yovel? This applies only to Israel, not outside of Israel. Every seventh year, you are not allowed, and this was done last year, so that last year was a Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant or harvest for sale anything that grows from the ground. And that's called Shemitah. The laws of Shemitah specifically are that the land belongs to Hashem, and Hashem gives it to us, but Hashem gives it to us to use on his terms, not on our terms. Just like the Torah says, you have to rest on Shabbos, because Hashem gives us our body, our soul, our energy, our life, and again, it's on his terms, not on our terms. We can't just do whatever we want. We can't mistreat our body. You're not supposed to do different things to your body that make your body sick or ill or maimed or disfigured, because it's God's body. You got to give it back the right way, the way you got it. And the same is true of our energy. We're supposed to use our energies in the way Hashem wants. And the same is true of our property. Everything comes from Hashem. So the property, and specifically in Israel, is, and this is what the Torah says, not outside of Israel, every seventh year, you're not allowed to plant anything in the ground. And if anything that grows in the ground by itself, you're not allowed to eat it. This is a rabbinic decree, not biblical. Anything that grows, vegetable, grows by itself, we're not allowed to eat. It's considered to be not kosher even. It gets mixed up with kosher food. You have to throw out the whole mixture as if some non-kosher substance was mixed in. Anything that grows from trees, you're allowed to eat, all kinds of fruit, but you're not allowed to sell it. You're not even allowed to store it up in your house, your stuff from your field. The field has to be regarded as free for all. Anybody who wants can go into the field, take whatever they want while they're there. They have the same restrictions that they can't sell it and they can't store it up. The land is open to everybody. And Hashem says, you do this and I will show you that you're going to have so much blessing in the sixth year that you're going to have so much stuff. You're not going to know where to put it. You're going to be busy with putting away, the Torah says, the grapes, and then the next harvest, you'll still be putting away the stuff from the first harvest. And the next thing is going to come. You're not going to know where to put it. And you're going to have so much plenty and you're going to have peace in the land. And so that's the laws of Shemitah. And that's practiced until today. Last year was a Shemitah year in Israel. It happens every 7 years. The Torah goes on to say that after seven cycles of Shemitah, the 49th year, of course, is the end of the seventh cycle of Shemitah, seven times seven. The 50th year should be another year with the same restrictions as Shemitah. And that's called the Yovel year in English. It's called the Jubilee. Yovel year. The Yovel year is two Shemitah years in a row. And Hashem says, if you keep Yovel, I'm going to give you amazing, amazing blessings, and nobody's going to be able to start up with you. Your land is going to be secure and protected. Our Chachamim, our sages, tell us that the amount of years that the Jews were stuck out of Israel between the first and second temple was 70 years, and those 70 years corresponded to 70 Shemitahs that the Jews did not properly keep. Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Father, says that lots of tzaris, lots of bad things happen if we don't keep Shemitah. We don't keep these laws, meaning if our strength is from Hashem, then we're a superman, then we're superwoman, then we are superheroes. Then nobody can start up with us because we're not subject to the limitations that ordinary countries are subject to. But if our strength comes from ourselves, meaning we say we need to do what we need to do because we need to take care of ourselves. So Hashem says, if you're taking care of yourself, that's good news. So I'll sit back and I'll let whatever happens happen. And what happens in the big world, as we know, is nations start up with other nations. Trouble happens. You want to be superhuman, Hashem says, well, then you're going to act superhuman. And rely on me. And if you rely on me, then you will, in fact, be protected. So this is the Jewish history. Goes back, as you know, 3,300 years from the Exodus from Egypt. And that's what happened. We experienced in Egypt all of these miracles. And whenever we were relying only on Hashem, we, in fact, experienced amazing, amazing miracles. And when we rely on ourselves, then, you know, we have the problems that unfortunately happens when a person does not put their trust, when a nation does not put their trust in the right powers in the right way. Just like a person in business makes bad decisions, and then you say, how come my business went well? Look at the decisions you made. Look at the moves that you made. Look at the purchases. Look at the merchandise you bought. Look what you did. What do you expect? And the Torah says the same thing. And that, in fact, is the second part of the Torah reading, the parsha of the Chukosai, the second parsha. We go and we talk about all kinds of warnings and, in fact, curses that will, Torah says, befall. Happen to the Jewish nation if we don't keep the mitzvahs. Hashem says, if you're not going to keep what I'm telling you, I'm not going to keep the different promises to you. But that's the parsha. That's an overview of the parsha. We talk about faith and trust in Hashem, and we talk about really supernatural, because it doesn't make any logical sense that a person is not going to work for 2 years, talking about the Shemitah and the Yovel year together, and yet you're going to have money. It doesn't make any logical sense. So that what the Torah essentially is teaching us is that we are not a Jewish nation that works with logic, and unless it's Hashem's logic. Obviously, we can't do whatever we want. And the blessings, therefore, that come to us are immense. They're huge. The Yovel year, just to round out the information, the Yovel year is not practiced today. This 50th additional Shemitah year, because the Torah tells us that it's only practiced when most of the Jewish nation is living in Israel. If most of the Jewish nation is living outside of Israel, then we practice the Shemitah year every seventh year of sabbatical year. We do not practice the 50th year of the Yovel year. That has not happened for the last 2,500 years. Since the destruction of the first temple, the Yovel has been suspended. Mashiach comes, obviously the Jews will go back to Israel and these laws will once again apply. So let me share with you now, that's an overview of the concepts, the topics in the parsha. Let me share with you a little bit from the beginning of the second parsha called Bichukosai. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bichukosai, the last portion of the book of Vayikra, the Torah says in Hebrew, Im Bichukosai Teleichu, if you will walk in my statutes, b'chukosai means my laws, ve'es mitzvosai tishmoru, and you will keep my mitzvahs, you'll keep my commandments, va'asisam osam, and you'll actually do them, then I'll give you rain in its time, the Torah says, Hashem says to us, and I will give you the crops to grow, and you're going to have so much, as I mentioned, that you're going to have, not, you're not going to know what to do with the crops from the previous season, you'll still be eating the food from the previous season, and the new season is going to grow. And not only that, but you're going to eat food and you're going to be satisfied. You're not going to have to eat a lot. Not only that, but you're not going to have anybody crossing through your land, even to cross through another land to conquer. Nobody's going to start up with you. You're never going to be afraid of anything. There's not going to be any wild animals starting up with you, your family, your children. If anybody does try to start up with you, all you're going to have to do, the Torah says, is send five soldiers to chase away 100 of the enemy, and 100 soldiers will chase away 10,000 of the enemy. So if somebody does want to start up with you, a little bit of effort, you're going to chase them away, and that's what's going to happen. Lots of blessings. The very first beginning of the Parsha, which starts again, if you will walk in my statutes, in Bechukosai Telechu, which is the name of the Parsha, the second Parsha, Bechukosai, my statutes. Rashi quotes the Midrash. And the Midrash says that the statutes here actually don't refer to mitzvahs. It doesn't really mean the literal meaning, which is if you will do mitzvahs. Rashi says this means if you will study Torah. So if you're going to study Torah, then you're going to be able to do the mitzvahs. Now, a whole different light. The Parsha doesn't just talk about doing mitzvahs. Rashi tells us the Parsha talks about studying Torah. And if you're going to study Torah in a way that is teilechu, which means you're going to be, in the language of Rashi, amelim batorah, that means toiling, working hard. It's not easy to take time out of your day to study Torah. You have many different things that are pressing. And it's also not easy to focus and concentrate. Torah study requires thinking and concentration. It's easier to write a check, let's say, assuming you have the money. It's easier to write a check for somebody who needs tzedakah. It's easier to go to a wedding and help the bride and groom celebrate. These are also mitzvahs. But the study is difficult, takes time, takes energy and effort. So the Torah says that if you're going to put your energy and effort into studying Torah, everything else will flow from there. This is the Jewish experience. And a matter of fact, as you know, we're going to be celebrating Shavuos, the holiday of receiving the Ten Commandments and the Torah. We're going to be celebrating that in a couple of weeks. Friday, May 26th, is the first day of Shavuos, and that's the day we became a nation by getting our first really information in writing. We didn't get the actual tablets that day, the Ten Commandments, but Hashem told us the Ten Commandments that day. And that is the day that we became a Jewish nation. That's the day we became connected to the Torah in this way. So these weeks that we are preparing between Passover and Shavuos are weeks of preparing for receiving and understanding and taking energy and effort to study Torah. So let me share with you another comment from one of the great commentaries, one of the amazing holy commentaries called the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh is Rabbi Chaim Ibn Attar, who lived about 450 years ago in Baghdad, actually. Very, very holy rabbi. And he wrote a commentary, a mystical commentary, and a very thorough commentary on the Chumash. And Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Holy Or HaChaim, is called the Holy Or HaChaim. He says as follows. He asks as follows. He quotes Rashi, who's quoting the Midrash, as I mentioned, the Torah Kohanim, the Midrash. And he says that when the Parsha says, Im Chukosei Telechu, if you're going to walk in my statutes, again, it doesn't mean what it seems to mean literally, to do the mitzvahs, because that's the very next phrase, if you're going to do the mitzvahs. But what it does mean is, you're going to be amelim batorah, you're going to be toiling and working hard to study Torah, then you're going to get lots and lots of blessings. Why, he says, why does the Torah call amelim batorah a chukah? If the Torah wants to tell us, if Hashem wants to tell us through Moshe, that we should work hard and study Torah, Hashem could have said, use those words, work hard and study Torah. Why is it expressed in this phrase, work hard and study Torah? It doesn't say work hard, so it says, toil in my walk in my statutes. So he says like this, if a person studies Torah and you study something that speaks to you, or you study something that you never knew about, it's exciting. The first time you learn something new is exciting. To review it so you shouldn't forget it, that's a chore. Now that's work. So it's almost not study anymore. It's almost now you're just doing it because that's what you got to do in order to remember something. You know, by a person, everybody knows, you know, how many times do I have to review this thing to remember it? Some person says it 3 times, 5 times, 10 times, 100 times. He says the point of studying Torah is not just to learn the thing one time and you should get excited from it. The point of studying Torah is it should become part of you, so that if you wake up in the middle of the night, what is the thought that's in your head? The thought that you went to sleep with is that Torah thought. If you're daydreaming in the middle of the day and all of a sudden your mind is clear and you're thinking about almost nothing, but of course your mind is always thinking about something, what should be the thought that's occupying your mind? Some Torah thought, some concept that you study, that you learn, that you're excited about. The only way for that to happen is to continually review and to continually go over and over and over until the thought becomes something that you're living with. And that's why it says, "In b'chukosayte lechu," if you will walk, if you will live with my Torah, if the Torah is going to be something that you review and it becomes part and parcel of your outlook, your worldview, it becomes you. So what are you? I am the Torah. Person says, I have this conversation with people all the time, talking about morality. You know, talk about nowadays in our world, we are very challenged, to put it mildly, when it comes to what's right and what's wrong, what's moral and what's immoral. You know, we're living in a time when literally, I kid you not, the district next to us, the school district, not yet our town's district, but the school district next to us, I just heard from somebody, if a kid comes into class, a child, and says they identify as a cat or a dog, the teacher has to give them certain leeway to do certain things. I don't understand it exactly how it would work in the practically in a classroom, but it seems that you could identify as a cat or a dog, let alone everything in between, you know, between males and females and all kinds of other stuff, and who knows what's going on today. So morality, to put it mildly, is a very challenging thing. So you ask somebody, where do you get this from? Where do you get this idea that people can do whatever they want? And they go, well, from this, from that, from here, what's your moral compass? And that is a question that we need to ask ourselves. And that's what these parshas are all about. These couple of parshas here, reliance on Hashem. Where do you get your idea of what's financial success and what brings financial success? Where do you get your idea of what is morality and how a person should live their life? If it's not informed by Torah, then it's informed by not Torah. There's only two choices. Either your morality and your worldview is informed by the Torah, or it's informed by some secular source. Now, that secular source may have been informed by the Torah. I mean, very famously, we know that British common law, which is the basis for American civil law, is based on the Bible in many instances, in many cases, but that's a very poor substitute for actually studying the Torah, studying the Bible. You know, you're going to study something filtered through something else. So that is what the Orach Chaim teaches us in the beginning of the Parsha, that our worldview has to be informed by the Torah. The only way for our worldview to become informed by the Torah is, first of all, to study and to know. Second, to review again and again and again until it becomes part and parcel of the way we think, until the way we think becomes seamless with the way the Torah thinks, and we become, so to speak, walking Torah people. Orach Chaim goes and continues, and he says many, many other reasons why it is, and this is the style of the Orach Chaim, he'll give you 10 reasons in this case, 42 different reasons different unique thoughts at the beginning of our parsha. 42 different unique thoughts. So I shared with you the first one. I'll share with you one more. He says like this. When a person studies Torah, there are two things that you're trying to accomplish. And when a person does mitzvahs, the same thing. The one is for yourself. You have to know for yourself. And the second is, if you're a parent or you care about your friends, then something good that you learn, something important that's important to you, if you're a parent, you definitely want your kids to have that attitude. And if you're a good friend to somebody, you want your friend to be in on the, you know, the latest best way of doing things, or the secret way of earning or making money or whatever it is, or the vacation spot that you went to that's so amazing. If you're a good friend, you tell your friend, come, let's go on vacation together, or you should try it, or some food that's delicious, whatever it is. So when we study Torah, we have, therefore, two things that happen to us. Number one, for ourselves internally. Number two, if you're really excited about what you study and you like and you enjoy and it lifts up your life and illuminates your life, then you want to share it with other people. As it says, the Chorach Chaim says, you should teach, the Torah actually says, teach it to your children, and so on. And that's why it says, b'chukosai, in my statutes, plural, he says. And this teaches us that the true test of if you are following in Hashem's statutes, meaning if we are enjoying, if we're really studying Torah properly, what's the test? Are we motivated to share it with the people we care about? If you're studying something and you're not excited about it and you don't want to share it with somebody, then, you know, it didn't speak to you. It doesn't matter what the concept is. If you're really excited, you're going to share it with somebody. And hopefully that somebody is going to be your children and your close friends. So that's another comment he gives. So with this, I'm going to conclude for today. So we have the theme of the parsha of Bahar Mechukosai, very powerful. It closes, it ends the book of Vayikra, which, as we've spoken about, and as you know, the book of Vayikra does not talk about Jewish history. The other books of the Torah talk about mitzvahs and also history. The book of Vayikra basically is not the history of the Jewish people, but it's how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to serve Hashem, how we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do in the Beis HaMikdash, how do we keep kosher, how do we offer the offerings in the temple, how do we do, what do we do on Yom Kippur, how do we find forgiveness for sin. That's all in the book of Vayikra. And therefore, it's understandable and fitting that the book of Vayikra closes with these two very bedrock concepts. Number one, trust and faith in God is the way to success. Don't think that you are, we, each of us, is the path individually, that we have to worry for ourselves. We're in Hashem's hands. And if we follow the plan, Hashem will guarantee success. That's number one, bedrock concept. Number two bedrock concept is, in order that it appears in the Parsha, it is Hashem gave us wisdom. Hashem gave us his wisdom, his way of thinking. That is God's way of thinking. It's a godly way of thinking, meaning it's a super all-powerful way of thinking. If the definition of God is an entity that is completely unlimited and completely infinite and completely able to do omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, all-present, if that's the definition of God, which should be the definition of God, right? People would agree. A God is an entity that is all-powerful, not limited in any way. Then the wisdom that God has is the most powerful substance in the world. That wisdom was distilled and packaged in our Torah, and Hashem gave it to us as a gift. And we are therefore privileged to study the Torah, and if we study the Torah in such a way, as mentioned to you from the Aruch Chaim, that not only does it become our worldview, but it also becomes something we're all excited about and share it with our family and friends, then, of course, this is the greatest power that any nation can ever have, and that is the message, and that's why this parsha is called Chazak, which means power, strength, because this is the ultimate power.